This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today on The Breakfast Grill, I am talking to Ng Sang Beng, the chief executive of the semiconductor testing firm MLS Holdings Berhad. Sang Beng, thank you for talking to me. And obviously, we are right in the middle of the coronavirus, and the fallouts from industry and business has left a lot of scar tissue on the economy. Maybe if we can start with you telling us about and updating us on your business environment, having seen your earnings being hit quite badly by coronavirus in the last 3 months.
Yeah, hi. Morning. So this pandemic did put an impact on us. What happened is that for the past few quarters, even before the pandemic, as you can see from the announcement and our quarterly result, we didn't do well. So we actually, towards the end of the year and the very, very early of this year, we actually put in some measures and we try to rectify the situation. And when we finally found a remedy to our problem, then the pandemic hit us and it put everyone on the ground. So, but it was the effort that we have done towards the end of the year and early this year, which actually bring us to be able to turn around in the June quarter. In the June quarter. So we have recorded a turnaround with 87,000 ringgit of profit, though it is small, but it actually marked the starting of our turnaround story of MLS. So what we did was that the very important thing was that we finally managed to actually come out with two new products. And we actually started to sell them and ship them during the MCO time. So that's something really encouraging. And the other thing is that we managed to pen down the agreement of having a joint venture with with a company in China. And that has been done. And we will start to actually look for places to have our manufacturing in China soon.
Okay, but be that as it may, Sang Beng, your financials have historically, since your listing in the last 5 years, been quite choppy. Revenues have jumped from 76 to 69, then to 83, then 87, then of course 89 million ringgit last year, 90 million ringgit. But your net profit has, there was 4 profitable years and then 1 bad year in 2016. You dropped to 2.7 million ringgit loss. And of course, 2019 also you had a 3.2 million ringgit loss. Why, first of all, are your numbers as choppy as this? And, well, obviously, does it follow the E&A cycle? And do you have a strategy to try and flatten these numbers?
Okay, so what happened is that, it puzzled us, to be honest with you, that for the past few years, we have been trying really hard, changing our strategy, pushing really hard on sales, trying to actually make our, to bring back the glorious time of MLS. If you look at the history of the first 11 years, whereby we have a strong double-digit growth year on year for 11 years. So what we did was that, like I mentioned, towards the end of last year, we actually did an analysis on the numbers, on the expenses, profit. We did a lot of analysis on our expenses and numbers. And we realized that, number one, we did terribly in China. Number two, we actually had a big mistake in terms of the strategy of our product. So what was that? After listed, generally, all the analysts, everyone, of us would think that now we have the money. What we should do is really to look at a multiple fold of our revenue growth over the years. And one of the ways to actually be able to do that is to be able to come up with a generic product or a generic tester. When I say generic, means that it is a particular solution that we come up with, which could cater for almost everything under the sun within the semiconductor test market. And we did that. So we designed a tester with the code name of AMB5600, or generally we call that as 5600. And, you know, we spent a lot of money on that in R&D, a couple of years. And then it's actually a very powerful product that we think that it will be able to actually attack a market called the, a particular niche market in semiconductor. But we were pretty wrong about that, because to be the first 11 years whereby we actually recorded pretty good CAGR of revenue growth, to be honest with you, that we actually never designed a generic tester. All that while we have been actually looking into customers' pain point, look at the biggest problem, and when we have confidence in actually being able to solve their pain point, then we come up with a product and we sell that product, we make that product, sort of we customize that product, and then we make it standard for that particular market, and we sell for tens of millions. And when the cycle is over, and it's over, you know, we no longer see that huge jump of revenue. But then we started with another different customer and a different niche market, and we start selling to that market with a new or a newly customized product. So that was the success of Amulus for the first 11 years.
So what are you trying to say? So it's become quite an existential conundrum for you, Song Ambing, because in the old days, you didn't have a generic product and then made you money. Now you have a generic tester, which I guess goes across the industry, but that's not seeming to work, even though you spend some money on it. So what is the way forward? Because when your first half results, you have fallen into a 4.7 million ringgit loss, which is more than you lost in all of 2019. And if you analyze that's quite a lot of money. So what is the strategy to recover back, not even from the COVID, but even from your strategic conundrum that you got in front of you?
That is a really a million-dollar question. So, and the good thing is that we have actually rectified that, and we actually found a solution to that. So what we did was that I mentioned that for that, you know, from October to January this year, I've been traveling in China and Taiwan, trying to understand the market on my own and trying to understand what exactly went wrong. And also to do market exploration on what is actually the pain point of our new customer. And we found two. In fact, we found two. One of it is actually this 5600. We realized that there's actually this market called the CMOS image sensors. CMOS image sensors, or to be make it easier for everyone, would be the cameras that appears on CCTVs, on camera, on handphones. So those are CMOS image sensors, or CIS. So we found that for this market, especially the CIS or CCTV, is really huge. And they are literally dominated by a few tester companies based in Taiwan. And we look at their solution, and immediately, you know, I was very confident that, you know, I am able to pick it up and challenge that with a significant advantage in terms of performance because of our technology. So what we did was that, remember the 5600 that I mentioned, the generic tester? So what we did was that it took us about 2 to 3 months to customize 20% of that tester, and we turned that tester, a generic tester, into a specific tester or a specialized tester, which is to actually tackle the CMOS image sensor test market. And just by doing so, we started to sell. I told you that we have orders from Taiwan, and we had already shipped it in the April quarter, which is exactly during the MCO time. So, and we just got orders from the same solution in China as well. That was probably last month. So, yeah, I mean, your question about it's really a big issue. It's really a huge crisis for us. Yes, indeed, it was. But looking at the solution right now, we can see that on the testers itself, when we compare our solution to our competitors in Taiwan, we are probably about three times faster than our competitors. I mean, the faster, the better in terms of test time, which means that within an hour, we can produce three times more output as compared to our competitors. So that is actually a really big big breakthrough for us.
Yeah. Okay. So when I look at some of your numbers, you say there's been a breakthrough, but I guess that is a strategic breakthrough for you in terms of identifying the CMOS market as something that you can go into in future in a material way. But for the time being, your numbers seem to suggest that, for example, your borrowing costs have increased to something like 22 million ringgit, which I think is three times as much as the year before. Your development costs have gone up by 1.5 million ringgit. And of course, also you've depleted cash to some degree as well. Now you went from 12.7 million ringgit, I think a year ago, at the end of June, to less than half a million, well, just over half a million this year. So that's been a big depletion in cash as well. So what's been happening there? How do you explain these numbers?
I don't think I need to explain the numbers in the sense that, I mean, this is what exactly happened. When sales don't come in, when revenue doesn't grow, cash is being depleted. This is just the way that the business goes. But the important thing is, are we able to rectify the situation? That's actually more important. And probably you knew that you're aware that we just put up a private placement, and we are raising like 31 million ringgit. So I think those questions that you mentioned will no longer be valid at this point of time. The second thing is that while we are able to now having the war chest to actually look into our new strategy and the turnaround, so what we really need to see in the coming quarters is actually starting to see the growth of our revenue. And personally, I'm actually very confident on that.
I'm talking this morning to Ng Sang Beng, the chief executive of the Penang-based semiconductor testing firm MLS Holdings Berhad. We'll come back after this, Sang Beng, and talk about the new markets and the turnaround strategy. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Today on The Breakfast Grill, I'm talking to Ng Sang Beng, the chief executive and founder, one of the founders of the Penang-based semiconductor testing firm MLS Holdings Berhad. Sang Beng, last we left it, you said you had identified a new market in the CMOS sector, which is obviously the optical sensors which are used in CCTVs and smartphones. And of course, as smartphones get more intelligent and more clear in the pictures and obviously the videos that they make, CMOS is another big sector for you. Potentially, you said that you've identified a joint venture in China which will help you develop this new market. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. One of the things that I would like to bring up is that this is really, to me, is that we have gone through that really choppy cycles for the past few years. And this pandemic hitting everyone quite badly. For us, we really see this as an opportunity, and we actually literally seize the opportunity in the midst of the trade war, the Sino-American trade war, Huawei's issues, and also this pandemic to actually look in, actually shifted the entire competition landscape. We had actually penned an agreement with a company in China with the name of Tangren Microintelligence to actually form a JV in China with the purpose of actually localizing some of our test solutions in China. So what happened is that in this particular venture, our JV partner will have 60% shares in that company in the JV. MLS Holding will have 40% in the JV. Aimless Corporation will have 40% shares in the JV. So how we do is that we put in a million renminbi of cash in the company, and then the rest of the shares are actually being paid in the form of IP, in intellectual property. But we don't file patent, so this is more towards our design and our trade secret. So we are in the midst of completing this exercise of IP transfer. So if this is actually completed, we are seeing at 3.4 million ringgit of IP being transacted pending the approval and by our auditors. This could actually turn into some sort of other income with close to 100% of margin.
So what does this mean? What does this mean, Sangbing, for the business going forward? Does it mean A, that your numbers will be less choppy, and B, what kind of market size and what kind of market value are we talking about for the CMOS market?
CMOS image sensor is a really huge market. Right now, it's actually growing with a double digit growth year on year for the next 5 years. And because of the demand for CCTVs has increased significantly, especially during the pandemic pandemic era. And what we see is that because of the technical advantage of us in the CMOS image sensors, so that actually would be able to put us in a competing lead, competing edge as compared to our competitors, which means that when every time that we go into a new customer, we'll be able to actually portray our technology advantages as compared to our competitors. So that is actually the first step for us to get into this market. And with the fact that we have just modified and actually customized this product like early this year, and we will be able to start selling we'll be able to start taking orders from Taiwan and China, it actually at least gives you an idea of what's actually going on.
So where is the growth coming from, Sangbing? Is it for smartphones like the new Notes and the new Galaxy phones, or is it an iPhone market? Who are the end clients?
Yeah, we don't do it for smartphones. We do it for CCTVs and surveillance camera. These are the two areas that we are focusing on. And why? Because if you look into smartphones, the pixel size, the pixel resolution of smartphones actually increase every year. And the technology involved actually evolved very quickly, which means that we got to catch up with the technology advantages over the time, and the investment on this is very huge. But if you look at the CCTVs and surveillance camera, this is a market. They are mainly made in China and Taiwan, but they are sold all over the world. I mean, most of the CCTV brand cameras that you see now, they are all based in Taiwan, China. I mean, I'm talking about the sensor module of what we are testing. So when we look at that, it is a market with 20 to 30% of growth year on year, and it's actually a big market worldwide. So this is the market that we are eyeing and we are targeting right now with the new modified tester. But the JV, it's about something else, you see. The JV, although it would help us to actually grow the CMOS image sensors market, remember that early on I mentioned about we actually came out with two new products and we have been start selling them and shipping them in the April quarter, which is during the MCO time. And the other product that we sold was actually into the RF filters market. RF filters are used in mainly in the RF front-end modules. So what are those things? RF front-end modules are mainly used in anything that transmits and receives wireless signal, like phones, tablets, laptops, IoT devices, or anything that, as long as you use Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, data plans, you use GPS, and then NFC, anytime that you do all those things, they are all being completed by a group of devices called the RF front-end devices. And one of the devices inside this market is called the RF filter. Aimless, for the past 13 or 14 years, we have been actually focusing on this particular market. Everything in the RF front-end devices except the RF filters.
I'm talking this morning to Ng Sangbing, the chief executive and founder, one of the co-founders of the semiconductor testing firm based in Penang called Ebulus Holdings Berhad. Sangbing, I guess if you can zoom out for a little bit and tell me basically what do these new developments into CMOS and as well as your new device which cuts across industries with the RF filter, what does it do for the financials of the business? Bearing in mind that last 2 years, 2018 and 2019, you did 90 million ringgit of revenue, give or take.
We are riding on the wave of the trade war, to be honest. So what happened is that right now the Made in China 2025 initiative has been actually expedited and with the objective of actually localizing 70% of the imports of semiconductor on a yearly basis. China probably imports about $300 billion worth of semiconductor on a yearly basis, which means that most of the chips that they actually use in China are all imports. So what happened right now is that they wanted to actually make everything, or at least 70% of that import, to be localized in China, including RF filters. So RF filters is a very important chip that is used in 5G, I mean, definitely, and in 4G, 3G as well. So what happened is that this requirement on the testers has also changed. The center of the trade war, as we all know, you know, is really about Huawei. It's about really about Huawei.
And, understand, Sangbing. So I guess just to go back to the question, and of course you have just outlined a huge global market, but for Emulous, what is the value fiscally to yourselves, to the extent that you can tell me, and I guess, you know, more importantly, what does it mean for the financials of the business?
Okay, sure. So while I am not able to actually put up an approximation of numbers in terms of revenue, but what I can share is that right now, the only companies that is actually making RF filter testers that is non-American, non-Japanese, not European, is only Emulous. So it looks like this is a trend. This is actually a big opportunity for Emulous in China to really execute and actually put ourselves in China ASAP. So the JV, the purpose of the JV is to be able to actually go in, and with a 60% share owned by a local China partner, this JV is considered as a local Chinese company. So which means that it will definitely lower down our actually entry barrier getting into the businesses in China, especially in the RF filter market.
So when you raised your placement, I think, which ended in August, to give you the war chest, I understand there was some institutional interest in the stock, which I guess is partly to explain why the share price has been rising in the last few weeks. What have they been able to hold on to from a fiscal metric perspective to say, okay, I'm going to come in and I'm going to go with you for the ride?
So what happened is that, by the way, we actually raised 31 million ringgit, and this exercise has been completed. If you look at this particular fundraising, we actually have fund houses that came in. And those fund houses, why do they come in at this point of time, whereby, you know, a company has been in a losses for 4 quarters and barely making money in the last quarter? I believe that what they are looking at is really that the confidence in our JV, especially in China. And also what I mentioned about the RF filter testing market, it's a huge market and it's a growing market. And this is something that everyone is hoping that Emulous could actually ride on this wave and really make a, you know, big fuss about it.
I understand. Well, do wish you the best of luck with the plan and for your success in the China joint venture. Thank you for talking to me. I was talking to Eng Sangbing, the founder and chief executive of Emulous Holdings Berhad, the Penang-based semiconductor testing firm, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.